Good evening, and welcome to episode 55 of the Malt Travel
Well, after
Podcast.
55, I'm sure we could sing the ukulele
We
music.
probably
Da,
could, yeah.
da, da,
Da,
da,
da, da, da,
da,
da.
da,
Right.
da, da,
Well,
da. That's
good
enough, that.
evening, gents. You've already said good evening, so are we in good form? It is Thursday, the 7th of March. We're in March already, and already a week into March, which is quite scary. Easter's only, what, 2 weeks away? 3 weeks away.
No, man.
Schools break up in
Three.
two, but 3 weeks away, which is
Two and a
scary.
bit. Yeah.
Doing a bit.
Well,
So, what we're going to
this looking a bit
do in
cloudy.
this episode, we've been a little bit more kind of up to date. So, we caught up at the end of last month. Nicholas is flashing Wharf Beer Yorkshire IPA at us at the moment for those on YouTube. We caught up a couple of weeks ago,
5.1.
January. And as I said, remarkably, in the month of January, we'd actually met up. Well, I'd met with Bruce and then I'd met with Nick. So the last time in episode 54, we talked about York and a little afternoon that me and Bruce had there. And the main focus of today's podcast is a little afternoon that me, brother Nicholas, and son Finlay had in Macclesfield. Unfortunately, Bruce couldn't join us. Nick had 24 hours in Manchester. So after some consultation, we were looking at Congleton, but for some reason, the trains on a Sunday at Congleton are like getting to Timbuktu. But thankfully, the trains to
Great.
Mac are quite regularly, aren't they? So there's a train to Mac about every 20 minutes or so, half an hour or so. So we started at Macclesfield, obviously nestled in Cheshire, just south of the kind of Greater Manchester conurbation. I have been before, and in fact, I did a little podcast on it way back, probably in the 20s, when I had a kind of quite a nice afternoon. So that's going to be the focus. But as usual, we'll have a quick catch up and we'll have some beery highlights and also some beer news. So let's crack on with that. So we've got no music, so we'll move on. Beer news, but podcast news really. Interestingly, I think just mentioned 55 there. Last week, quite big news really. Both of the probably the longest two beer podcasts that have been around for a while. It's no point asking Nick or Bruce because they never listen to anyone. I don't think listen to this podcast, let alone anybody else's podcast. But Beer Longing, which previously that was
Time.
Beer O'Clock, announced in the last episode that came out last week, and that was going to be their last ever podcast. So they've been podcasting for 12 years. And I think Steve, who's the kind of main guy, it's been through kind of three variations. So Steve started it way back with one guy, and then he changed about 4 years into another guy, Martin, and they did it for loads of years. Then it kind of went off air a little bit, and then Steve joined with another two guys, excuse me, more recently. And they've done about a year and a bit of podcast, although it has kind of morphed into quite a lot of talk about mental health as well, and particularly men's mental health. And then in the same month, Rhythm and Brews, which is another very long-standing podcast with a bit of a difference. Rhythm and Brews is where they kind of match beers to music. So they pick like three or four beers each episode, and then they kind of they and guests pick a tune that goes with it. And the idea is that that enhances your enjoyment of beer. And they've been doing it for 8 years, and they've gone as well. They always said basically they've got pretty much fed up. There was quite a lot of talk about Twitter and how that's changed, and obviously since Mr. Musk got hold of it, it has very much changed. The beer kind of community that was on there has changed. The AI that they're using throws up very random things. And I must admit, it's got very American. My Twitter feed is just full of American stuff at the moment, which it never was before.
Yeah,
So
because I don't
yeah.
do much. Like you say, some bizarre stuff cropping up on it now, and
Yeah.
it's dying, isn't it? Well, thank
Yeah,
God,
and
yeah.
obviously kind of Instagram and TikTok have taken over, and obviously there are other social platforms coming in. So yeah, so interesting really. I mean, it's a bit of a
I
shame.
found that my hands don't go as black now when I'm reading a newspaper.
Yes. Well, thank you, Nicholas, for that
Well, as in print off newspaper,
Yes.
I stick to newspapers. I don't tend to look
Right.
at what's on here. Anyway,
Well, I read
crack
my
on.
newspapers on my iPad. Anyway, other good news. I think we did mention this some time ago. Again, down here in the West Country, and I think Nick and Bruce, you weren't far from this place actually a couple of months or so ago when you were on your little West Midlands tour. So, John, the Crooked House, the very famous kind of wonky pub in the Blue Country, was before Christmas, wasn't it? There was a fire, and then literally overnight. Big excavators moved in and flattened the place. Then we found out it'd just been recently bought by some, well, I won't say dodgy because there's a criminal thing still going on. Was bought by some entrepreneurs who had a little bit of a history of setting fire to things and demolishing them. Anyway, the give him his due. The Conservative Birmingham Metropolitan Mayor Andy Street and lots of local campaigns, camera campaigns, etc. And they've actually been legally ordered now. They're going to have to rebuild the Crooked House brick by brick. I think that's going to be bloody hard because it absolutely flattened it.
Absolutely.
But anyway, that's the legal.
Step in the right direction, though.
Yeah. So they're going to have to rebuild it, and of course, what it will also hopefully do is maybe stop other people from, you know, just knocking down heritage pubs and saying, "Oh well, progress," because Nick doesn't get ink on his hands anymore. So that's that one. I don't know where you picked up this one. When I have some spare time on my hands, I like to delve into the local camera magazines, and obviously virtually all of them are online now. Although I must say the Potter's Bar one has stopped, unfortunately. And perhaps, well, maybe I should do something about that as a camera member. But this one is the Dorset one, and for most of its life, it's been called the Giant Dongle. And again, for those on YouTube, there's obviously a little bit of a clue there. So the Saint Kernas, Saint Kernas, isn't it? Giant, which is a chalk figure in one of the little Dorset hills there, who has a very large appendage, very large appendage. But apparently, some bloody woke do-gooder has complained about it, and they're going to have to change their name. So no longer will the West Dorset Camera magazine be called the Giant Dongle. They're going to have to come up with a new name. So
surely they don't have to change the name. So they've given in to some woke person.
Well,
because what exactly is the definition of dongle? I mean, the only thing I know of a dongle is a thing that you shove in your computer.
Yeah, although there is a chalk man with a very large penis on the front of the magazine. So anyway, there we go. And then some good news. The commercial in Huddersfield, which again we actually entered and drank in. Way back in the midst of time, a Sam Smith's pub has reopened. And this was a cracking pub, and it's bang in the city centre.
But for how long?
It's at least it's reopened. So
till the poor manager just get
good,
kicked out.
Some
or
good
get
news
up.
There. Right, moving on to Beery highlights. Bruce did send me a few more because I was out on Saturday, and Bruce was out on Saturday. But maybe because I've had a couple of beers, I went and bought a new phone. Well, not a new phone. I went to Cash Converters because my phone was getting a bit slow. So I went to Cash Converters and did a very good deal and bought an iPhone 11 for 120 quid. But that's another story. I said, get it done for me now. Just transfer it for me, which is fine. But everything that I'd done that day, for whatever reason, hadn't been backed up. So the photos that I'd taken of a couple of bars I'd been in and the photos that Bruce sent me didn't back up. Everything else came up, which again is, you know, a bit like Boris and Rishi. Actually, my WhatsApp did suddenly reappear just with a small gap in it of about a couple of hours. So anyway, Bruce, you did send me some, I think, from earlier in the week when, again, you were on your kind of... You must be using up all your holiday intel now, as you come to the table at the end of your job.
Manchester was going to be the last one, but then...
Yeah.
Nick terrified about Manchester, so we said it chucked it down slightly. So I went to Durham last week, me and Christine, and I was going to the Colpitts Hotel. So as soon as we got there, said, never mind the castle, never mind the cathedral, we need to find a Sam Smith's pub. So I was best pleased about that. But yeah, we came down the hill, walked 2 minutes, and that was great, wasn't it? It had a fantastic little slug on the left hand side, roaring fire, about four tables, you sit right on top of the fire, lovely, friendly locals in there, sort of William Morris style wallpaper. Immaculately kept pub. Apparently, it's one of his favourite pubs in the estate. And then they've got another large room, the bar, that we're getting really smart. But then the third room, surprisingly, just a pool table in it. But, of course, loads of students around there. So it gives them an outlet. But, yeah, it was absolutely fantastic. I say it's literally down the hill from the station.
It's down from the station, isn't it, Rose? It's one of these, what they call a flat-iron pub, isn't it? Because it's on a junction. It's not on a corner.
Yeah.
It's a rounded corner. Reminds me of the... Three Tons in Sheffield. Where you can, Three Tons.
Yeah.
You can sit right in that window, and they often liken it to me like on the bow of a ship, because you can look straight down like. So, flat iron building.
Then I say, from there, we went on to the Elm Tree, because we went to, if you go to the Colpitts, you approach the town centre from a different direction. So they went to the Elm Tree, which has been Camera Club of the Year for the last 2 years. But bearing in mind the Victoria's in there, you think if any, I suppose you can't do Victoria every year, but it's a bit, it was a nice pub, but Pub of the Year, strange really. But yeah, great choice of beers. We're smart around the corner as well. They had Double Maximum, but yeah, I tried Hadrian Border's Fine Island for the first ever time. Again, had that sort of a sweet heaviness you find in those beers from that sort of a East Coast Borders region. But yeah, cracking pub around there. And then from there, we looked around the cathedral and mooch about the shops and ultimately had them all.
You take your cap off, bros.
I did this time, yes. I got told off many years ago. Yeah. Sorry, they were too tight to pay the
same. You did, yeah.
Lego, look at the Lego reconstruction of Durham Cathedral. I had to pay for that. I'll say, well, you know, Richard, but one thing about Durham, you have to say, if ever there's a city that has absolutely oversaturated itself with pubs and restaurants in Durham, I mean, as well as all the traditional boozers, they've got a place there, they call it the Boatyard. And on there, there's like a Tomahawk, there's a big Irish pub, a bit of a concrete jungle, a vast, vast Wetherspoons, in addition to one of the town centres that are teeming with people, but say Tomahawk, big Irish pub, another restaurant, all quite characterless. And then on top of that, by the riverside now, there's a whole new development opened that's full of bars and restaurants, things like Cozy Clubs, TGI Fridays, Spanish places.
Been there a few years, bros, because the Wetherspoons down there, they often get the otters visiting because they've got nighttime security cameras on. And once all the...
That's the boat club.
Yeah.
No, you're thinking the one, the boat club. That's the new one. They've actually sent
one. What's the screw called? Archimedes screw. There's an Archimedes screw, isn't there, in the river?
Yeah, yeah. So the three bridges that's still open. The one's closed down. But I say, Chris, there was a Cozy Club there, so I dragged down the railing. So it's looking Cozy Club, and it was astonishing. It was 5 o'clock on a Wednesday evening. This vast place. We were the only people in it. And I was saying, you know, busy on the weekend, but otherwise, it's almost as though they've just have no restrictions on what's there, and it's impossible to see them all making money. It was very, very quiet.
All the students in Durham study, you see, bros. It's a very academic place, isn't it?
Yeah, I have to say, though, at night time, we're there till quite late, and it was a lot of students out, but they're all very well behaved. It was quite a nice vibe. No, we were there in the Christmas holidays one night and quite disappointed, but it had quite a lot of energy running through it and did run through the night. And of course, we ended up in the Victoria, which again was packed, one of the top 10 pubs in the country for me. Top preserved Victorian pub, three roaring fires, fantastic. Well, it was a great pint, a pint of Big Lamp, which must be one of the oldest real ale breweries in existence. Yeah. Big Lamp was on the go, and we were drinking 18. So it was a good trip out, really. But the Colpitts Hotel, absolutely fantastic.
I've only said Durham because I don't know if you've come across this yet, Nick. I don't know if you have, Nick. The Wetherspoons app now, you can keep a record of your Wetherspoon visits.
Yeah.
And I've forgotten the bottom one in Durham that I've been to because I've been trying to rack my brains about where we've been. So I'm currently up to 42, which is in great, out of 815. So I'm kind of slowly. Now, I've got a few more.
There's a couple of points on that. They are closing one in Durham. One is up for sale in Durham.
Yeah.
And also the Wetherspoons app, they sent a notification out a couple of weeks back saying that they're going to redo it. So unless you make a note of all the spoons that you visited, you lose them all. Screenshot, and then when they launched a new app, they said there's nothing else we can do. It's going to be a new app, and you're going to lose all that data. So screenshot it, and then you can keep a record.
I can't believe they've closed the one in...
For those who like Wetherspoons.
Yeah.
No, they have three, don't they, Bruce? And they basically close the one that is the least popular or the least efficient is the one that they've up for sale. In the same way they're doing in Edinburgh. I read a little thing in the Edinburgh Times or whatever it was, all the people in Leith complaining and moaning about that one's up for sale and where do we go for discounted food and drink now, blah de blah de blah, and you know,
Wetherspoons
should do something about it. But
cheap coffee.
I mean, at the end of the day, well, you know, anybody who's going to buy that or any of the pubs should be looking at this. And if it is viable, then they should be following the lead. But that doesn't happen, does it? But there we are.
Anyway,
I mean, there's a train of thought now, as they go up there, of course, through the point, and do you pay £6 or £7 for something that's virgin inedible? I'll pay £3 or £4 more and get something.
Don't talk bloody rubbish, Bruce.
Food is
right. Let's move on. Right, come on. I'm going to mute you both for a minute. Right, Another thing we've been having very recently is kind of pubs that are kind of hanging on there. So I know we talked quite a bit about pubs in Manchester, and we went on our little crawl in the summer. We went to the Britain's Protectorate, and we went to the Peak, Peveril of the Peak, which again are being... in fact, there's another pub I saw in one of the press this week that was showing in one of the other Manchester pubs that is absolutely surrounded now by kind of, you know, neon and glass. And I had a little bit of an afternoon to myself on Saturday. So again, it's £3.50 a day pass in the Potteries for buzzies. So I went and bought one of those, and I said, you know what, I'm going to go and find three or four pubs I've never been into, despite living here for 33 years. So off I went, and I went into Ray Reardon Snooker Hall, first of all, which I've lost all the pictures. I went into one of the new crafty bottly bars, and then my find of the day was probably this one, which is, for those on YouTube, is a really traditional classic Bass pub, and the Golden Cup, which is kind of, it's a bit like we talked a bit like York Rally of the Week. It's kind of maroon slightly on part of the kind of inner ring road on the other side of it, to the kind of town city centre up in Anley, because obviously Stoke's a bit weird, and we've got six town centres. But this is the Golden Cup. It's kind of, by all accounts, has been fairly derelict for a few years, but the youngest guy is taking it on fairly recently. Had spent a lot of money out the front there, and it looks stunning with the traditional kind of marbly green marble proper traditional bass windows.
Is that the original frontage then?
Yeah, apparently so. And well, inside,
it's awesome, isn't it?
Yeah, inside it's a bit different. So there's again, for those on YouTube, there's a more close-up picture there. And they've got the VIP red ropes still out. I presume that from that's when it reopened. It loses a little bit inside. As you can see, it's a brand-new bar that's made to look a little bit like an old bar. And the first thing you walk into is that bloody chrome fecking tea bar with Strongbow and Worthington Cream and Carling on it. However, again, if you're on the picture, you can see there are four cask ales. And the offer on Saturday was two Staffordshire. So Bass, which I think it's just about Southern Staffordshire, it's brewed in Wolverhampton these days, and Titanic Porter, which isn't a million miles up the road, actually. And then Buckcombe Gold and St. Austell Proper Job. And I've got to say, Southwestern beers were a bit of a theme on Saturday afternoon in Stoke-on-Trent. I think every pub I went into had at least one Southwest beer, which is a little bit weird. But anyway, there we go.
That must be because one of the beer distributors must have.
Yeah, possibly.
Got a load of, brought that,
I mean, to say this, to say this is, yeah, to say this pub's a little, and it is. You wouldn't.
They just rebranded Proper Job.
Yeah,
new pub, labels and new livery and new design.
So this pub's not really on a buzz route, and it's slightly out of the kind of town centre. It was absolutely rammed at about 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon. There wasn't any telly or anything. It's not massive. There's a big room kind of out the back that was full. A lot of families and a lot of people obviously popping in here. Where I'm sat there, again, if you're on YouTube, there's one long banquette that goes all the way along. In front of that window, I'm sat in that first window, basically, and the seating goes all the way along with about probably five tables. So it's quite busy. I sat initially on my own. There's a guy next to me on his own. A couple came in. So the guy next to me said he'd shuffle up. And they sat with me. And then again, it was just one of those where I was sat on my own. I was making a few notes and overheard their conversation. Interesting conversation. Went on a bit. They're all locals. And then obviously he started on this immigration rant about, you know, they've bloody come over here, whatever. And then after about 10 minutes of this kind of, and them agreeing with him about how bad things were, they said, oh, what's your name? And he said, oh, my name's Antonio Luigi. I'm actually Italian. My dad was Italian. My mum was Italian. They came over in 1956 or whatever. So it was just like the irony of being in a Stoke pub where you slag off immigrants and then you actually explain you are an immigrant. Anyway, there we go. So that was that one. And then the other highlight was good. Well, I wouldn't say a highlight, really. I went up to the Woodman, which is just being converted to an Irish pub, and I did send Bruce some pictures of Guinness. I need to go again, I think. Anyway, the real focus of today is our trip to Treacle Town on Macclesfield. So Macclesfield is quite good because it's on the West Coast Main Line. It's about 20 minutes, Nick, from Manchester, Piccadilly. You just got Stockport, really, the main 20, station. Then
25 minutes.
Yeah. So it's quite accessible.
It's not a very nice station, but it got better as soon as you step off the station. It seems that there was an old traditional station there. They knocked it down in 1964 and built this. I suppose it's a practical station, but it's not nice as a train station.
And as actually, it's not a station. You noticed all the brand new stations that Network Rail are building now, they're all identical. They're just two platforms. They've got like a lift shaft either side of the platform, so and some stairs. And then everyone's like, it's absolutely, for a country with such real heritage, you can't believe, because we're getting one at Haxby near us, can't they? But every single
cheap construction, easy maintenance, isn't it?
Yeah. It really is heartbreaking, really, to see it.
So Mark's quite good because it's on the West Coast Main Line. So we've got at least three different train companies. So there's Viva, there's Arriva, Cross Country, and Northern. Yeah. So it's quite cheap. I think it cost me something like 4 or 5 quid to get to Maxfield on a day return. So it's pretty good. And the other stunning thing about the ramp, you come out of station. So top picture is the station ramp. And as you come on that wall there, you look out and you've got three pubs within spitz distance of where you are. So on your left, there is the Queen's, which is a Joseph Holt pub. You've then got the Old Mill, and I think it's the Nag's Head, which is on your right there. So you've literally could have three pints within 100 yards of the station, which is very good. We met at 12 on a Sunday afternoon. And again, Max in two bits. So we're on the kind of low bit here. The station kind of is in the bottom of the valley. So you've got, it's typical, really typical industrial development. You've got the canal, the river, the road and the railway all shoved in that bottom of the valley, a bit like a kind of a West Yorkshire town. And then the kind of town itself is up on the hill. So again, if you're on YouTube, you can see the big church there, which dominates kind of the town centre, and it's kind of a bit of a local landmark, and you have to walk uphill to get to the town centre. So I say, I have been before and had quite a nice little afternoon. It's a bit of a kind of traditional townish in a way. Obviously, it's a big commuter town because it's very accessible to Manchester. Again, most of its kind of past was around silk and other textile weaving. Still, some of the big mills are still there. So silk town or treacle town. We'll come to it in a minute.
Yeah.
So the first one, and again, you've got to probably know where this is. So this is about 5 minutes walk from the station on an interesting street called Sunderland Street, which we'll come to later because I've actually got three great pubs on Sunderland Street. This is the Treacle Tap. So again, in my previous visit, I visited this place. It's been there. They reckon it's one of the first ever micro bars in the UK. I think it was opened. It was probably opened back in 2010, maybe even before that. So it's been round quite a long, 2010. But unfortunately, it closed in 2021 or so, and was shut for quite a while. There was a concern that it was going to end. They'd got sister little similar micro pub in Congleton, and that's shut as well. But thankfully, in December, the Buxton Brewery tried to reopen it. And apparently what they've got is they've got the guy who originally owned it. He now is the bar manager. So it's kept a lot of its kind of its feel. Bruce should be very glad to hear it does very fine pies by all accounts, although I'm yet to have one. But everybody says they're fantastic. So it's a typical little exit. It was a saddlery shop, apparently, and a terrace. So it's fairly small and compact, little bar at the back. And obviously now it's very much dominated by Buxton. So there were three Buxton beers. Oh, Nick, what do you think? It's your first visit to the place. Again, it was a bit, well, we were the only people in there, weren't we?
Yeah, they'd only just opened, aren't they?
Yeah.
So we were the first in, got in there. Yeah, it's a typical micro bar, I would say.
Yeah.
So obviously first people in, there wasn't much atmosphere going on in there. Beers were, I think, top end really, to say it's their tap. But, you know, I've had this observance before that you would expect a tap to be selling their beer cheaper than anywhere else. And yet it was a little bit more expensive. But, hey, you know, if the guys who had it previously couldn't make a go of it, maybe that's the only way to keep it going, ticking over. But it was a good start to the day. It was, you know, local beer, decent beer, and a good start to the day.
So that was a trickle up. Yeah, Buxton beers, I think they're a bit, they're quite... they just do loads.
Rustic, I would say. Earthy.
Yeah, yeah, but they're all, I mean, they're more of a craft brewery than, I guess, a cask brewery, really. They're more into keg. And they churn it a lot, and it's a bit on the edge. And they do quite a lot of kind of experimental beers and sours. And they remember that Omnipollo thing I had with the, you know, they do the ice cream served beers as well. And they are quite, even in books, they're quite expensive. But
I think that was the other thing, you know, to start off a day on a Sunday, you want some not to. And I think the ABVs and a lot of them were, I think the lowest we could find was above 4%, which I know it doesn't sound a lot, but when you're used to 3.8, 3.94%, if you go for a 4.5, getting up to a 5, it's like blind, that's your first one in, when you know you've got another 5 or 6 to have. So
yeah. So we had a quick one in there, and then we said we'd gonna head up. So I think Nick, you'd spied this one. And again, this was a new one for me. It's a pub that I didn't go into previously, probably because I was with a better half and she didn't like the look of it. However, this is a classic gem, and really from one type of pub to another. This is the Castle, which has been there pretty much forever. It's up kind of where the old castle was in Macclesfield. There's no trace of that now. It's a typical Cheshire black and white fronted bar. A little bit of a
TARDIS. Look at the server, eh?
It's got a cobble. You walk up the cobbles to get to it in kind of a little cobbled street, which is actually quite common in Cheshire. Most little towns have cobbled streets still. And inside, it's a warren of little rooms. And like you say, Bruce, you've picked out that very interesting bar that's got a bow, kind of a bowed, they say it's a bit like a bowed window. And you can see the barman behind on his mobile. And we're sat in like a little perch, which had a very interesting, you can see there on the bottom left on YouTube, little inset seat as well. So again, this place was ramming, wasn't it? Sunday lunchtime. They were doing Sunday dinners.
Yeah, Sunday lunches. Yeah. This is in the Camera Heritage pub guide, which is why I wanted to visit this one. You need to know where it is in the town.
Yeah.
Because it's not that obvious. It is central, but it's down some little couple of streets. And it's like where we sat. The room at the back is actually a fairly new addition. On the old traditional part of the pub, but it's like a mezzanine, so you overlook what is the main back room in the pub. There's the front little bar with the fire going. Obviously, that's where all the regulars go in there.
Yeah.
The back room, and then this other, the further back room, which is a bigger room, is sort of, you've overlooked, which is quite a novelty, really. And then they've got glazed partition into where the corridor is, and then they've got a room on the other side that's quite long and narrow, but. Yeah, it was good mixture of people in there, you know, a couple of dogs in there, busy. And people eating the Sunday lunches. So it was ticking over nicely.
So again, it was it dates back to the early 1800s. Again, it was shut, actually. It closed down in 2014 and again was literally derelict almost for 10 years until the present owners took it on in 2021. It actually won a Camera Historic Refurbishment Conservation Award. And it's listed now one of the Camera important pub interiors. So yeah, really, really good little find. A good range of beers on there. What did I have there? I had a Loon Brew. Yeah, I think they were local. They were Winkle, Red Willow, a Winkle Brewery, and one of the local breweries, and then a Loon, which is just not further up. So from there, we carried on up the cobbles, and up the cobbles takes you then into kind of the town square, and this being the last Sunday in February, it was treacle market. So they take over the centre of town, and as we said, Nick, you know, if places like Malton were doing this, it was absolutely really heaving. Good. It absolutely dragged everybody in. There was some good music.
Well, it wasn't busy as in, you know, Malton Food Festival. You're walking on people's bloody heads,
but
for because Sunday it's in, over such a big area as well.
Yeah,
certainly brought a lot of people in the town, and we found that out later on when we went to try and find something to eat.
Yeah. So it was very impressive. Good stalls, range. It was kind of crafty and stuff. So anyway, I kind of knew where I was going, because just at the far end of the marketplace is a little bit. It gets a little bit quieter, and I guess this was COVID, but a couple of the bars at that end managed to persuade the town council, allowed them to put quite a lot of extensive seating out, and it now stretches kind of all the way, kind of halfway down the street. And we were heading to Five Clouds Tap and Bottle. So again, I've been there, and it was in my previous update. And next door, it used to be Beer Locker. It's now D&G's Beer Cave or Beer Locker. They don't do cask, unfortunately, there. It's keg only. And I've got to say, a bit disappointing that in Five Clouds, because whilst that is a brewery, although apparently they're a gypsy brewery, again, there was no cask on our visit. And these beers were quite crafty, so maybe not quite up next street, and quite expensive.
Yeah.
So I think we ended up having halves in here. We managed to get in the window seat, which is quite nice. It was quite cold outside. So we got in the window
seat. Northern Monk Little Faith.
That's what you had. I had some mad crap stuff. I had a, what was it called? It was one, a lot of their beers are named after comedies. So I had a Where's My Fruit Machine Gone? Which apparently is obviously a Phoenix Knight.
That's right.
So a lot of their beers are linked to that. So yeah, a beer called Where's My Fruit Machine Gone? Which was a very, very, as you can see there, a very, very milkshakey IPA, which wouldn't have been up next street.
But a great place. £2.90 for half a pint as well. So that's
£5.80
for a pint. Yeah. So that was, it was.
But quite hip. And you can obviously bring your street food, and there was a street food pop up next, you know, kind of outside. So a good place really if you want to just chill a little bit. In fact, as you said, quite a lot of people on those seats weren't drinking anything. They just sat down and were eating whatever they'd got. Or
a lot of reading a book.
So Five Clouds Tap, say Five Clouds are a brewery, although again, I think they're kind of off and on when they brew. And I say they tend to use other people's kit. And I don't even think there was any Five Clouds beers on because we probably would have tried those. But anyway, there we go. So there, as I mentioned, the beer vault is a little bit further on, but shares the same seating there. So you can sit outside that one as well. That's more of a kind of a bottle shop. So they do wine, they do bottles, cans, but they do have a number of keg beers available as well. Walking through the town, again, there's quite a few that we didn't even venture into. There's the Earl of Mercia, which is a Beartown linked pub, Beartown from Congleton. That's just up from the castle. Unfortunately, across the road, there was another micro, which I went to last time, next to the very nice little butchers, but that's shut down. And then in the middle of town centre is the Bait Hall, which again is Grade 2 listed. Jacobean Staircase, apparently, in that one. I think that's a Marston's pub. It looked very busy, actually, we walked past
the Marston's. Yeah, it's supposed to be a bit of an institution in Macclesfield, I think, for the locals.
Yeah.
I think that's where things happen.
So that's that one. But again, Nick had spied this, and it's something, again, wasn't had been on my radar, but he'd spied that there was a brewery tap. The Blackjack Brewery had a tap in what was called the Picture Dome. And rather than being converted to a Wetherspoon, this is quite interesting, actually. It was I think Macclesfield had a couple of cinemas, but it's Macclesfield's oldest cinema. It used to be next to the Theatre Royal, which is now a car park. And now they've converted it into one of these very trendy food halls. But doing a bit more, Bruce, this is the same Altrincham Market company. It's the same guys who do the Altrincham Market and a couple of markets in Manchester are all involved in here. So this, as you can see, if you're looking on YouTube, was absolutely rammed for a Sunday. Again, it's a good, 10-minute walk, Nick, from the town centre. You know, it's not...
Walk out of town. You had to know where it was. You had to find it out. Because at one point we thought, hang on, this can't be right, because we're actually heading on to the outskirts of town now. Surely it can't be somewhere down here. But yeah, walked in and was amazed. Every table down in the main area was just full. So we were fortunate just through the doorway. Once again, there's a little mezzanine. Shelf seating, and we managed to get in there, which was handy because that's where the brewery is, and then all the food places are down on the main ground floor.
So we did quite well, really.
Ideal position.
Well, again, really good vibe. Probably five different food venues. So pizzas. One was doing a traditional Sunday lunch. There was a noodles bar. We kind of went for the Turkish, and as you can see, we got a very nice. It was 30-odd quid, so it wasn't cheap. But I thought, I'll go and treat us. So we had kind of a Turkish kind of barbecue mezze, which was quite nice, really. And the beer was okay. Blackjack beers were okay. That's a ragged school I had. I think you had one of their beers as well, Nick, and they were okay. They weren't too. They were pretty good.
Blackjack Brewery Blonde. That was £4.20 for a pint. Which is what you expect to really pay for a tap pint. So good.
Definitely worth a visit. And I say, if you've been to Altrincham, very similar to that. I think I did. They've also got the Jack in the Box Market in Mackie Mayer, which is the northern quarter in Manchester, and they've also got a tap house at Smithfield Market Tavern as well, which is in Manchester. They're a Manchester-based brewery. Okay, so that's going to bring us to the end of the first, we're probably slightly over halfway, but we are going to have a little bit of a break, and then we'll come back shortly. Okay, right, we're back. Nicholas has refreshed his beer, so you were on a Wharf Brewery first round, Nicholas. I'm actually on the lemonade, because I'm on bloody dad's taxi again tonight. What are you on now?
Drop, We dropped into Ilkley at weekend on Sunday, but unfortunately I didn't get three ducks. Just bobbed in and had a quick one in the spoons. But I thought, right, I'll have a wharf beer. So it's on the Yorkshire IPA, English Indian Pale Ale, 5.1%. Very nice. But in fact, one of your Christmas presents, Mike.
Oh, lovely, yes.
The Titanic Brewery Plum Porter Grand Reserve. Changed my glasses. Not using my World War II 10-sided mug now. It's more of a chalice, this one, so I'm going to give this one a go. And it's pouring lovely. It's got that viscous, sort of smooth, velvety-ness to it. There we go.
Right, so back to Macclesfield. So we've enjoyed our pint in the Picture Dome, and we've had a very nice Turkish meze. So we were about 3.5 pints in now, so, you know, steady away. So time is cracking on, though, and Nick needs to be back on the train for around about 4:30, the latest, to get back to Manchester. So we walked back through town, and again, as always really on these trips, there was another, at least two intriguing pubs that will be probably, hopefully, another visit in the future. So in the main high street, there is the Shamrock Bar, one for us, Bruce, which apparently is very good, and there's a very good pint of Guinness, and obviously it was getting ready for St. Patrick's Day. And then as you go back kind of down the hill towards the lower town again, which is a little bit kind of, I would say, a more genteel part of town, there is, first of all, the Society Rooms, a very posh-looking Wetherspoons. I can't remember whether this was a school or something like that in a previous life. But again, it's apparently carvenous inside, very big. And again, if you're on YouTube, you can see it's quite a nice setting. And they've got a very nice, that road there kind of opens out into kind of an open, a bit like a Harrogate-type green space. And they've got, you just put seat in the picture, they've got a very nice beer garden to the left of the photos there. But we were heading to another Macclesfield-based brewery, which is the Red Willow. So the Red Willow, again, is a brewery based in Macclesfield, getting quite a lot of national recognition, really. And their beers are beginning now, finding quite a lot in kind of North Midlands, South Manchester. I know Pellicle magazine did a focus on them a couple of editions back. So this is a very swanky, probably one of the nicest beer taps I've ever been in. I think they do have a little bit of a thing at the brewery, but it's a bit of an industrial estate. So this is their main focus. They also have a sister bar in Buxton, which they also call the Red Willow Tap. And the one in Buxton is in the old NatWest Bank on the road as you come into Buxton, which is very nice. And in fact, you can sit in the bank manager's office and have a pint, which I did last time I was there. So this was a rather posh row of houses. In the past. I think that you said it was a co-op, but a co-op linen store or whatever, furniture store.
This part of the building was a shoemaker's or something like that.
Shoemaker's, right.
Originally, But yeah, very nice inside.
I found that old picture there. You can see that terrace is very nice. And actually all those bits, that very large Methodist church is still there. And a very nice row of houses. So again, if you're on YouTube, this is all kind of big plate glass windows with rolled out canopies. Looking very nice, very Victorian. And inside, again, it's kind of a combination of old and new, isn't it? Inside is quite smart. Well, isn't it really inside? A mixture of big and small tables. There were some couches to the right hand of that picture that if you're on YouTube. I did think maybe that electronic beer board, not quite in the setting. However, what it did do was remind, I think there were 3 or 4 cask beers and 5 or 6 keg beers on. And I said Red Willow beers are very nice. So definitely worth finding out. Again, pretty busy. This is probably about 3:30, 3:45-ish time on the Sunday afternoon. A good mix of kind of young people, older people, people obviously been out for a walk, people who took the kids up to the market and then were on the way back home. So very nice. And handily, as you leave this pub, you're back on Sunderland Street. So you're back on the street that goes back towards the station, which is very handy for us as well. So again, a good thing. I think we all had Red Willow beers, which again were good. Again, prices were stupid. More towards £4, I think, Nick, than lower than that, weren't they, remember rightly?
More towards £5.
£5, were they? Okay.
I had a Red Willow Citra and Chinook pint.
Well, I think we I think we had the same.
So once again,
we, and it was very nice. Yeah, it was really good.
Probably, yeah.
So as
yeah.
I say, when you, in fact, the building next door, which we didn't really, we didn't get a look in much really, but there's another, again, gets good rap, is the Fountain, which is next door to Red Willow, which again is another one that does a range of beers, including Cask. But say we didn't even get a chance of looking there. So there's at least another four pubs there. And as you walk down Sunderland Street, there's yet another two decent booths as well. So there's a Jolly Sailors on one side of the road, which it says has got six hand pumps in excellent condition, a very traditional boozer. And across the road is the Snow Goose with a very, very nice mural
wonderful
on the side
mural.
Of the wall.
Lovely wonderful. Mural. Yeah.
This is an Alpine chalet-style calf bar, okay, which has particularly beers from Storm Brewery, which is another one, again, Macclesfield-based Storm Brewery. So again, there's another two pubs there that would be great to walk in. They're about probably 100 yards down the road from the Treacle Tap. So again, three decent pubs on that road.
Yeah, the report I've heard about the Snow Goose is that it's a weird concept inside, but they have real ale on. So out of all the pubs that we didn't go in, I would have perhaps liked to have gone in that one. And above the Wetherspoons, as you mentioned, might look very nice, but actually didn't go in there. But certainly the mural outside on the end of the Snow Goose pub is stunning. It really is.
And I said, just getting the kind of late afternoon sun there as well, as you can see. So it was as you can see, some blue sky there. It was quite a crisp kind of February day, really. And we were very lucky because it had been piddling down all week. And as we got to the station, we had 10 minutes left. So we thought what we'd better do is dive into the Holtz pub. So this is the big, rather impressive red Holtz pub. It was, again, this is, I guess it's back to Bruce's thing about railway thing. This is a typical 1850s railway pub, probably built by the Midland and North Railway. You know, a huge edifice right across the station. I guess it was where the travelling salesmen and people would have stopped, you know, the night after. Mm-hmm. It's probably a posh room for any posh people coming up to Macclesfield. It's a massive pub, this is. It's huge. As you can see, with a tiny bar that serves a huge ground floor. And it was fairly, I think I've put Spartan in my blog. It was fairly Spartan, but it was all right. And they did have, obviously, Holtz bit on.
It was closed when we arrived there. So it was closed at 12 o'clock. But it had opened by the time we were getting back Sunday afternoon.
Yeah,
there was a couple of young lads playing pool. So once again, there was a big room dedicated just to a pool table. There was a couple of folks sat right up the end of what you would call the main front bar. We just grabbed three cheeky halves, didn't we, just to count the clock down before.
And I think you can just see in the background there. I think they were doing they're Holtz Smooth £3 a pint every day, all week. So again, I guess if you want a cheap beer.
That was £2. Was that £2 a pint, mate? I think it was,
something
wasn't
like
it?
That. Yeah, so I think £2.
Yeah, Holtz out the keg.
But again, you know, give Holtz their due. They are a Manchester brewery. I've written down somewhere, I think they're about 150 years old. So they're hanging on when, you know, Boddington's and people have all closed down. They're hanging in there. So give them their due. They've got 300 and odd pubs. And obviously this is one of them. So yeah, it was worth going in. It's a bit of nostalgia, really. And we got a nice seat so we could keep an eye on the railway station, which is literally across the road. So a nice little ending, really, to kind of quite a nice afternoon around Macclesfield. So as we've said, there was probably another three or four pubs there that we could have visited. So, Nick, I don't know how you sum up an afternoon in Mac.
Yeah, first time I've been. I mean, once again, we were fortunate the weather. I would think if it was wet and dreary, you know, we spent our time. It wasn't just all pubs. Having a wander around the market there, that gives you a 20-minute breather. Walking down to the food place, which sometimes we forget to do when we're out on the pub crawls, a decent bit of food inside. So that was a nice, three-quarters an hour to an hour break, even though we were drinking beer from a craft brewery in there. So yeah, for a good decent half day out, three quarters of a day, recommend Macclesfield.
Yeah, it was good.
Great range of beer pubs there as well. Fantastic.
Yeah, a nice range of really to suit, I guess, suit all people really. And I remember last time I came with the missus and she quite liked it because again I was able to pick places that I know she'd like. She probably would have liked the castle. She wouldn't have liked the Queen's. But, you know, some of those, like the Treacle Tap was great in there and five taps just because you can watch the world go by. So definitely worth. Yeah, I think we're getting older. I think we were probably 20 years ago, we'd have probably caned about 9 pints in this place, wouldn't we? We'd have been in every pub and necked probably a pint in every one. So we were taking our time, like you say, having a browse, popping a couple of antique shops, see if there's anything beery and stuff.
I was conscious. I had to get back to Manchester.
Yeah, you've got a 2 or 3 hour journey.
Piccadilly to Victoria.
Yeah.
And then back over the Pennines to Malta.
Yeah.
And the
worst
thing I do, if I've had a belly full of beer and it's on a night, which it was, and it's dark, you just end up falling asleep, don't you? And I've ended up in Scarborough a couple of times, so I didn't want to do that. So
yeah, all in all, good afternoon. And I say definitely worth a visit if you're ever in that neck of the woods. A little bit of an undersung place, really, Macclesfield. And treacle tap, we need to explain that. So, Wells, I think the football team are known as a Siltman because of the Silt Town. Treacle Town is the other name for Macclesfield locally. And apparently, back in the 1800s, a cart full of treacle was coming down those cobbled streets from the church there and tipped over. And treacle ran down the streets, a bit like one of Bruce's fantasies about chocolate and beer. Ran down the street, and all the locals scooped up the treacle, and that's why it's sometimes called Treacle Town as well. So there you go. So yeah, very good. So that means we've caught up a little bit on our kind of mini crawls.
Is that bloody music again?
No, we can't get any music. So we'll have to think of something else.
It's playing now, man. I can hear it.
Oh, yeah. Or is it? Oh, there you go. That's great. I can't bloody hear it. There we go. Anyway, so let me go back a bit then, because I'll come back to that in a minute. So, gents, we kind of got Paddy's Day coming up, and then Cheltenham's coming up over the hill. And then obviously Easter's quite early this year, so Easter's coming up. Not really big drinking time, is it, Easter? Because they've been touching the pub shutter on Friday. I don't know what they do these days, but they used to. Easter Sunday.
Some of us work all the way through the bank holiday as well. That's a Friday, the Saturday, Sunday and the Monday.
I mean, Easter Sunday's pretty dead, isn't it? Because even the supermarket's shut on Easter Sunday. It's more kind of sacrilegious than Christmas. I'm thinking maybe, Bruce, I might get to Altrincham this weekend and maybe try that Irish bar that you've mentioned. Because, again, I've heard it's good things.
Yeah, there's an Irish bar. That's one of the best things I've ever had in this country, and it's got a real nice feel to it. Belgian pub as well. The market's well worth it. Sam Smith's pub.
They're doing some pre-Paddy Day preparation. Obviously, it's the rugby again on Friday. On Saturday. So that'll be good to go and maybe watch that. Or even Sunday as well. So that's it. Nicholas, are you working this weekend, or are you out and about?
Wait, it's Mother's Day, Michael. So. Yes. We'll have to take Mother out on Sunday.
I'll be with us.
No, we're going up to Redcar. What a treat.
All right. look out for the sea rats.
yeah. Redcar Beach. I'm not telling you because you'll... No, we're not going to wear spoons either. I'm working part on Saturday. But next weekend, I think we're going to use our Northern Rail vouchers. Unfortunately, we're not going with Bruce. Bruce is going to Markham. I'm thinking either Chester or Preston, which will be a good day out, and then stop off in a couple of places on the way back, possibly.
Yeah, well, let us know then, because I've got some vouchers still free as well, so they'll be...
Okay.
What day? Oh, is that the 16th?
Yeah.
No, is it 16th?
Yeah, it will be, won't it? Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have pre-booked.
Yeah, we're looking at Saturday rather than Sunday, so maybe our lads playing rugby.
I've got a funeral due in the night as well.
I moved jobs, so we can have a midweek. I'll get on the old photocopier. I'm going to a bucket list destination on Saturday. I'm going to go to Upton Fish Shop in Lincolnshire on Saturday. It's the world's last remaining high street coal-fired fish and chip shop in this posh little village outside Gainsborough. It's like a garden shed. It's open on Friday night from 4:30 till 8, and on Saturday from 7:30 till 2. It's just bonkers. It's coal-fired. We have to queue about 45 minutes to get in. Apparently, the fish and chips are amazing. But it's been there since 1947. So we're going to go and try it on Saturday.
From what time on Saturday?
It's open from half 11. So it's open from half 4 to 8 o'clock on Friday.
I thought you said half past 7. I thought we were eating fish and chips half past 7 in the morning.
Open.
You probably would, Bruce.
Well, I would do, yeah.
I must admit, we went to... we went to Leek on Sunday because they have a craft market on, and at 11:30 there was somebody sat outside the chippy in Leek having fish and chips at 11:30 on a Sunday morning, which is going to. Although I do think was that coal fire thing, because I've heard about 3 or 4 chippies say we're the last coal fired chippy in the UK. And there's a couple in Yorkshire that say they're still coal fired and using beef dripping. Yeah. One of the things I tell you, if you get a chance, Bruce, have a look at Belfast Baps in St George's Market. We'll be looking at maybe going to Belfast, maybe Easter. I'd be looking at some breakfast bucket lists, and there was also, Piccolo's in Bethnal Green, which looks a classic place. Next time we go to London, we're going to go there because they do like a proper everything on a plate. It's called. It literally is, but
Pleaches.
That's it, Pleaches, which looks fantastic. Again, you have to queue, but yeah, if you get a chance, have a look at Belfast Bap in St George's Market and look at their breakfast bap is unbelievable.
Insane. I've seen it on YouTube.
Unbelievable! It's like it's like that big. It's got everything.
You'll have to have one to go, Michael.
Because obviously,
I was disappointed when I went to Belfast.
Right, you didn't go to the right places.
Well, I did, but they're either bloody close.
It's Hilton, oh, bloody happy hour. Ridiculous.
Rob off.
You didn't go to Bright.
Because Bruce, it was the only place I could get a bloody beer, and I wouldn't pay £10 a pint for it.
Nah,
cheap. Yeah, I went to Kelly all them. Yeah.
You didn't go Bright for the breakfast.
The Crown was the best place we went to, even though that's dismissed as a tourist trap. For the architecture in there, we got in there just when the door opened, so it wasn't crowded with coach loads as the intimate that it will be. And the beer in there was good, and got sat in one of those little stalls at Unique for Northern Ireland, aren't they? Where they still actually have the stalls, or the Shandos in London, just off Trafalgar Square, that has the same little stalls where you can lock yourself away and immerse yourself in Victoriana, as it were.
Okie dokie. So we will catch up probably the other side of Easter, I'm thinking. And again, there's quite a bit of beer news happening at the moment. I noticed today that the latest Carlsberg Marston's tragedy is there. They're going to be, they've created some real beer that will be served through hand pumps, but actually is keg. So apparently been working on some kind of super nitro that's supposed to taste like real ale, but it's not. And then I think meantime, Asahi.
Closing meantime
brewery. So that's a bit of a concern. So we'll keep an eye on that. And I say we'll catch up probably sometime in April. So good night, gentlemen. A good chat. And again, a great venue to go to for Macclesfield.
Cheers.
Bye.